worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. So calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For the prophet has written, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least amongst the rulers of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" So King Herod secretly called the wise men and said, and learned from them exactly when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, send word back to me so that I may come and worship him." When the wise men had heard the king, they set out. And there, going before them, was the star they had seen at its rising. And they followed it until it stopped over the place where Jesus was born. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And then on entering the house, they found the child and Mary, and they knelt down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their home by a different way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to head out for Word for Children. Frida is going to be reading to you. I think the story today is Max and the Tagalong Moon. Did I get it right? Excellent. So they'll be hearing that story plus the retelling of this gospel story also. Sometimes it's like, that sounds kind of interesting. I haven't read that book. Maybe I'll stay here and preach a sermon though. Speaking of interesting, just this last week, I was at home actually doing some work around the house and had the TV on, and The Princess Bride was showing. I suspect many of you have seen it and maybe heard of it. It came out, 30, 40 years ago, back when Billy Crystal was really young. And Robin Wright was still, I think, in The Young and the Restless or some soap opera. I never watched those. But anyway, it's a romance or a love story. And it's kind of, you might say, a very witty and clever telling of sort of like a fairy tale. And so you have your hero and heroine, and they fall in love when they're young, and for various reasons, they're separated. But they have true love. And, of course, with any good story, you need to have a villain. And so there's this King Rumperdink? Is that it, Rumperdink? I'm going to quit trying the names. Oh, it is Humperdink. Okay. So King Humperdink, here are my go-to experts here. Anyway, he's just a good villain. Slick and smooth, but up to no good. Doesn't mind killing people right and left. And then, of course, he has at his disposal armies and even has the religious authorities kind of under his thumb. And But he decides that he wants to marry the most beautiful woman in the kingdom, and he chooses the heroine. What's her name? Oh, Buttercup. How could I forget Buttercup? And of course, she has true love for her boyfriend who's disappeared, presumed dead, don't know, but she's not going to give up. But the king is going to force her. Anyway, it goes on, and the long-lost boyfriend, through a strange events of circumstances, hooks up with a couple of other guys, and they set out on the quest to save the princess, or to save Buttercup from the evil king. And so the hero, he's driven by true love. He is not going to give up on true love. And the other two guys with him, I would say one is driven by honor and the other by loyalty. So you have these three guys then who are on this quest for true love. So let's jump to today's gospel. As I was pondering this and singing Princess Bride, I saw some connections. Of course, in today's gospel, we have the wise men. Tradition has it there's three of them because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't really know how many, but let's say we have three. And so it matches up with the three guys driven by true love and by honor and by loyalty. Of course, we have an evil king whose name is King Herod. And of course, he has armies underneath him. And by all historical accounts, King Herod was rather evil. He had his father-in-law killed, had like 10 wives. Most of them ended up dead. He even killed a couple of his sons, apparently. He was focused on power. And, you know, what's that saying? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He seems to have been completely obsessed and driven by a desire to have and gain and control more and more. So we have our evil king. We have the three wise men. There's religious authorities in play, the chief priests and the scribes. And then we have true love. Of course, the true love in the story of the Princess Bride was this kind of romantic love of, oh, I found the one person I'm going to live my life with, and, you know, all-consuming kind of thing. And so, but I would say that, yeah, in today's gospel, we do have true love. It's not that kind of romantic love, but it's a true love that, when we use the Greek word agape, kind of captures it. The truest love, which is self-giving, which is unconditional, which is completely for the other. And we know that in the Christ child, in God becoming flesh, we have a manifestation of the true essence of God, the true love of God, the true agape of God. So we have three guys, we have an evil king, and we have true love. We have a quest for that which is true and honorable. And the three wise men, as we refer to them, actually the biblical interpreters struggle with the best way to translate who they are. In the Greek, you'll find that they're referred to as magi, which is the word magic comes from. In our telling, it calls them wise men. And the songs that we hear, they're referred to as kings. But probably the best word that really describes them are like astrologers. Now, astrology today, I don't think we have any true believers here. Some of you may be curious about it. But back then, they really believed that the stars were a window to the heavens, to what the gods were up to. And so they studied the stars. You might say they were like the scientists of the day, because they believed that there was cause and effect between what the stars and the planets and the lights in the sky were doing and what God or the gods were doing. And so when a new star... Did that get unplugged? Uh-oh. That star's supposed to be lighting up. I guess it burned out. That's too bad. But we have our star up there. When a new star appeared, that means something was happening. The gods were up to something. And so these magi, these wise men, these kings, these astrologers, you might say these scientists, who were not Jews, they were from somewhere out east, probably Persia, but they were attuned to trying to figure out what God or the gods were up to. And when they saw this manifestation of God, they followed it. And it led them to come and worship the God made flesh. Almost all biblical scholars recognize that this was to make sure that we know that God did not just come for the Jews, but that God comes for the whole world. There's some interesting things, too, that if we pay attention to what's going on in the world and have eyes to see it, we can see what God is up to, even if we may not have heard of Jesus, because they had not heard of Jesus. What they knew is there was a star that was new and that God was up to something. In this time of Epiphany, the word itself means like revelation or showing up. So this is the season. We're going to dwell in Epiphany for about 5 or 6 weeks. And it's a time where we explore who God is. We especially pay attention to the stories about Jesus and what Jesus does. As he goes about calling disciples, as he goes about casting out demons, as he goes about healing the sick and proclaiming good news to the poor, paying attention to what God is up to in the world. On this brink of the new year, it's an opportunity for us to have an aha about who God is, about what God is up to. Going back to the Princess Bride, there's a point in there where King Humperdinck, that's a fun name to say, the evil king, finally captures the hero as he's trying to come back and save Princess Buttercup. And he gets angry and tortures him until all of the life is sucked out of him and he's left for dead. And his two partners, the other two people on the quest, find him and carry his lifeless body up to a guy named Mad Max. He's a miracle healer. I'm trusting that a lot of you have seen this film. If not, you should go see it. It's very witty and it's a fun watch. Anyway, so they bring the hero back there. And lay him out there, and they ask Mad Max, he's dead, will you bring him back to life? And Mad Max says, ho, 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 so you're the experts. He's not dead, he's just mostly dead. And mostly dead means he's a little bit alive. And so then he takes that little bit of life and gives him some magical potion, and sure enough, he comes back to life. If we think about faith, and if we're honest with ourselves, as life happens, there are times when we are full of faith, we are so clear on who God is, what God is up to, and we are so clear in our commitment and following and being part of that. And then there are other times where life happens, and we get down, and we wonder, and we struggle, and we doubt. If you're in one of those places, I trust that there's still that little bit of faith. And God can use any amount of faith to work miracles, to be about life, to have love abound in this world. It's the beginning of a new year. Wherever you are on your faith journey, what would it be like to allow, not Mad Max, but allow God to resurrect, enliven, enlarge your faith, to allow the love of God, the true love of God, be manifest in you, to allow the faithfulness of God, the grace of love, to wash over you, to, what would it be like to start recognizing all the different ways that God is at work? Out there around us, in the world, in Calgary, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in this congregation, to have that curious, this desire to find the real star of life instead of all these Hollywood stars and hockey stars and football stars, but follow the true star. Allow that star to shine in our light, to fill us with hope and love, and then give us the kind of courage, the tenacity, the faith to be about what God is up to in the world. To be part of those people whom God is using to create miracles of love and grace and forgiveness and service and help to those that are needed. To be lights in the world. This is the God we worship. The God who thousands of years ago said, I am at work. I am sending my light. We are inheritors of that message that came, that was made flesh 2,000 years ago, that there is good news. that God is not dead, that hope is alive, that God's desire for the world, that all may abound, that all may have life. This is Epiphany, the time for ahas about who God is. God, come surprise us, come lead us, come guide us. Amen.